open the curtain all the way. Okay. For functions such as this, it's standard and traditional that prayers of auspiciousness, invoking auspiciousness through sound vibration, the whole of the Vedic culture is filled with it before beginning an auspicious activity, invoking auspiciousness through mantras. And these mantras are especially important for us in a number of ways. Before there was really much of a Hare Krishna movement, there was ISKCON, Inc. in New York. There was one temple, not a worldwide organization, but Prabhupada envisioned a worldwide organization from the beginning. And that's why he called it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And in a recording studio in Manhattan, which was expensive, but he wanted a professional recording of Brahma Samhita prayers and other transcendental recordings of his kirtan, prayers to the six Goswamis, etc. Because he wanted us to hear these auspicious sound vibrations, even if we didn't know the meaning. And at the end, for us as followers to chant these hymns in a daily manner, entering into the spirit of the hymn, not just recite. So we recite, and hopefully gradually the spirit of the message. The spirit of the message is Govinda is everything. He's the source of everything, and these prayers are describing all of that, the material and spiritual creation. And another reason why it's especially fitting on occasions like this to chant Brahma Samhita is because this is the fruit, these realizations expressed in these prayers are the fruit of Lord Brahma chanting his mantra. If you read carefully Brahma Samhita, you'll find he heard as he searched down the stem of the lotus, where am I? Where have I come from? What's my purpose of existence? Those fundamental questions people are too busy in fruitive activities to bother to ask. But he asked immediately. And he climbed down the stem of the lotus to find his origin, and he couldn't find. And then he heard the syllables tapa three times. And he knew what that meant. It's austerity time. And so he went back up the top of the lotus flower, and he heard the first of his two Gayatri mantras, and he, for thousands of years of Brahma, that's a long time, he chanted his mantra, song of Krishna. And that came out his mouth in the form of another Gayatri, which then helped him become well acquainted with the ocean of truth, Bhaktisiddhanta's language. And this is the ocean of truth that he became well acquainted with. And the auspicious mantras are those, the absolute truth mantras that we're also to become well acquainted with. I was thinking, coming over here in the car, I thought this thought many, many times. I grew up in a place that, you know, just like if you get in your car and drive somewhere in the towns and villages and places, and they've never heard of Krishna. Now, the mandate of Mahaprabhu is every town and village, but there's lots of towns and villages that haven't heard. And I was in one of those towns and villages. And I don't know how it happened. It just, It happened. Causeless mercy. That's how it happened. Yadrichchaya in Sanskrit, which means somehow or other, meaning an event that has no cause. We only know events that have cause, that is the effect of a cause. What's an event that's without cause? It's how we come in contact with Krishna consciousness. It's one of those. It says, causeless mercy. And then search for what's the cause of causeless mercy, and it's rhetorical. There's no cause of causeless mercy because it's causeless. It says that Krishna is merciful. And Krishna's mercy is bestowed upon others that he requests, carry my mercy and give it here and there and everywhere. And we just happened to be in the right place at the right time and got some mercy. And one good thing is we said yes instead of no. Because we can always say yes. I mean, you can always say no. That's free will. And somehow we said yes. Krishna's mercy, that we said yes. And here we are, practicing Krishna consciousness. And in the stage of practice, there's a verse in I can't help it, I'm a sannyasi. One of my realizations about sannyas life is Krishna made the crying of children just for sannyasis. To remind us, you don't want that. Not that I want that, but just, it's a nice reminder. It's just, for those of you that are householders, you're used to it. Children cry. It's, you know, mothers don't even think about it. So, pardon me. They're cute. There's a nice place over in the hall across the way for them to be happy and cute. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. Brahmanda means this universe. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona means the living entity, the jiva, is wandering and wandering and rotating through so many different species throughout this universe, and for that matter, so many universes. We're not just stuck to this universe. And so many species, so many planets, so many existences wandering and wandering, searching for you know what. What every soul wants is happiness. Looking where there's no happiness, for happiness. Like looking for water in a desert. Looking for happiness in a place where there's no happiness. So we're not contented finding no happiness in a place where there's no happiness. Somehow, by causeless mercy, Yadrichchaya, causeless mercy, by the mercy of Krishna, and those that Krishna gives his power of attorney to. You can give me to whoever you like, power of attorney, to his representatives. And Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. One may receive the bija, the seed of Bhakti Lata. wonderful philosophical description of this, which I won't go into right now because of the time. Jiva Goswami discusses what that bija, or the bhakti lata bija, is. In short, it's the desire once again to serve Krishna because we've turned away from Krishna. Bahir mukha jiv. We turned our mukha, our face or our attention away from Krishna. We ignored Krishna. And then we have a life of ignorance or just forgetfulness of Krishna. And the awakening of the desire to again be with Krishna, that's this bhakti lata bija, that it's already there, but it's awakened, just like a seed becomes sprouted, becomes awakened by that mercy. Through starting with sound vibration, spiritual sound vibration. Mine started just by, I didn't even know what was going on. I just heard Prabhupada singing in an auditorium or a hall at the university that I was attending. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I just was passing by. Saw a big crowd of people standing in front of the doorway of the Millard Fillmore Room in Norton Union, the school where I went to school. I didn't know what's going on in there. So I went inside, and there was Prabhupada having kirtan with Allen Ginsberg. And my life changed. Of course, from the lips of a pure devotee, and it wasn't Allen Ginsberg. He was with Prabhupada playing the bongo drums, and Prabhupada was playing kartals and just singing. And my life changed. I didn't know devotees. I didn't know nothing. The sound vibration of the holy name from the lips of a pure devotee has very, very powerful effects. And so the attraction for Krishna started or awakened. And then through gradual saying yes instead of no, steps, coming to the position where the desire to serve Krishna grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And so initiation, the ceremony this evening, is for such persons who receive some mercy, Guru and Krishna's mercy, starting with our founder Acharya, who is the distributor of all the mercy that's being distributed within ISKCON, minimally, and out beyond the walls of ISKCON, similarly. The initiation is a stage of formal connection with the disciplic succession, using Prabhupada's language, through the current link. So, it's submission unto Krishna. There's Shamsundar, Radha Shamsundar, submission unto the personality of Godhead through the disciplic succession, and mediate through the current link. So the current link is just a servant of the disciplic succession. And Krishna is a service unto Krishna. And on behalf of Krishna, this is the disciplic succession. The submission unto Krishna and the accept link. That's what the event is. It's the consequence of a number of yeses and the cultivation steadily over a period of time of coming to that stage. So I want to just say three other things, and I'll stop talking. I was in China just after the national holidays, Thai Independence Day. They have their Independence Day where they got rid of the dynasties of kings, and the People's Republic took over, the Communist Party. So they have their Independence Day. But it's a nice time. People don't work. Any of you that work in an office where there's Chinese people, they work very hard, yes? Very hard. I mean, very hard. They work extra hard. But, the national holidays, they don't work. as far as I can see. So it's a nice time we have gatherings, and I was attending a gathering. I don't want to get distracted, but they had an ISKCON 50 event during their national holiday, or just before the national holiday, rather. And Giridhari Swami was there. Giridhari Swami, some of you may know, may not know. Wonderful devotee, Weeping Center, and had a shared initiation ceremony. And I spoke first, and I said, I think I'm going to speak very little because I have a tendency to speak too much. So I spoke very little. And he said, I have a tendency to speak for too much also. But he went too long. So, keep it short. The process of surrender to the disciplic succession is the topic. So when attending initiation ceremonies or hearing recordings of initiation ceremonies, almost invariably Prabhupada would speak on two verses. So I want to say those two verses because it's appropriate following our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. One is from Canto 11, the Navayogendra speaking to Maharaj Nimi, and one of the topics is the process of bhakti, and in the process of bhakti, this process of initiation. So the verse is, Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttama shabde pare chanishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam. So, tasmad is therefore. It's a conclusion after so many other statements. Therefore, tasmad. Guru prapadyeta. One should take shelter of a spiritual master, as we're doing here. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama means that person needs a spiritual master who is inquisitive about Shreya Uttama. Prayas and Shreyas mean short-term, long-term benefit. And Shreya Uttama means ultimate long-term benefit. Like, you know, the purpose of life. What's it all about? You know, those kinds of questions. What is the goal of this human existence? One who is inquisitive about that requires a spiritual master. Not so many other things. Ashir Bhav. Little Prabhupada story. I'm tempted. I heard this from Tmal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada was riding in a train in India, first class compartment that was just reserved for Prabhupada and nobody else except Tmal Krishna Maharaj riding shotgun to make sure nobody came in to disturb Prabhupada. But the call of nature, he had to go use the restroom, and when he went, some fellow came in the room, in the little compartment. And Tmal Krishna Maharaj wanted to muscle, get out of here. Prabhupada said no. The man was saying, Swamiji, give me your blessings. So Prabhupada said, yes. Tmal Krishna Maharaj, bring the other sannyasis and the devotees that are traveling with us. They were in a couple compartments down. They all came crowded in the room, and Prabhupada said, my blessing is I'll make you like them. And the man looked at his watch and said, my family's waiting for me. I have to go now. There's a longer version, but Jigyasu Shreya Uttama is not that. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama is one who wants to know what real blessings are, what the real mission of life is and how to fulfill it. Such a person needs a spiritual master. Shabde pare cha nishnatam. Shabde pare shabda. That qualification of spiritual masters, they're filled with shabda, that knowledge from the Vedas, and nishnatam. They can remove the doubts of those who hear from them. They're empowered by that descending succession of knowledge. Brahmani Upashram Ashram, and other things they've cast far away. Uparsama Ashram. Because of time, I'm not going to expand. It's just the elements in this verse are there, what we're doing this evening. And another is from the Upanishads. Similar. Tad vijnanartham sagrum eva abhigachyat samatpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Similar. The abhigachyat, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but I learned this from Prabhupada. It's in the imperative sense. It's not optional, it's mandatory. One must, abhigachyat, tad vijnanartham, one who wants to know vijnana, one wants to be situated in realized knowledge, that person must have a spiritual master. Conversely, you won't get there without spiritual master. You must have. Tad vijnanartham, sagarum eva abhigachyat, samit pani. Pani is hand, and samit pani means firewood in hand, or wood in hand. Meaning, it's just a simple way of saying, in the mood of menial service. Just like Krishna and Balaram did when they went to the school of Sandipani Muni. Krishna was playing a worldly pastime of being one of us, and so he had to go to school. Of course, when he was little, he was in a Vaishya community, and little boys didn't go to school, they went and herd the cows. But when he went back to Mathura and is under the care of Vasudeva and Devaki, we're going to hear tomorrow, by the way, more about all of this. If you want to come, they're to be discussing Krishna's pastimes after he leaves Vrindavan, goes to Dwaraka, his relationship with Sudama in Porbandar, and then he also returns to Vrindavan, which is maybe a surprise to some of you. Krishna went back to Vrindavan. We're going to hear these things tomorrow in more detail. But when Krishna was in the school of Sandipani Muni, we'll hear more tomorrow, but he was from a Kshatriya family, and, you know, royal family, and here's a little boy, 12 years old, and when Sandipani Muni accepted them, he said, there's this condition, you have to do like everybody else does. Just menial service, samatpani. Because that's the necessity of submission to the teacher. If you're not submissive to the teacher, how are you going to learn from the teacher? Those that I know that teach in public schools, they're told when they're interviewed, if they're accepted for a job, you have a one-year opportunity. If you're accepted, the first rule is you have to keep discipline in the classroom, because if you don't keep discipline in the classroom, you're not going to be able to teach anything. So right off the bat, discipline in the classroom. Otherwise, you won't get a job next year, because, you know, it's unruly. There's not the principle, the respect. But for transcendental knowledge, the respect must be there also. And it's the respect is shown by, even when I was a little boy, it was something that I learned from my family, is you bring an apple to the teacher or some fruit. Now, I'm sure that doesn't go on anymore. But it's just part of Vedic culture. You bring to the Brahmana, the teacher, something. It's not the value of the thing. It's just the submission. And in this way, Vedic culture, the Brahmanas were maintained. They would teach. They didn't charge a salary. Anyway, that's what Sandipani Muni, he was like, it was kind of apologetic. But these are the rules, because you won't be able to be received from the teacher. Now, Krishna doesn't need a teacher, but he was submissive. And very quickly he made friendship with Sudama. Naturally, they're eternally related souls. An intimate friendship, sakya rasa friendship. at the same time very unique flavor of understanding the divinity of Krishna, but friendship, this is Dwarka, different than Vrindavan mood. Very interesting. Very deep and profound. Anyway, they had this wonderful friendship. And Krishna graduated from school really quickly. He, 64 days, he learned everything. Then he went back home. And then time passed and Krishna got married and Sandipani Muni got married. Excuse me, Sudama got married. Sudama had one wife and Krishna had 16,108. And so Sudama's wife didn't like to see her husband in such a apparently impoverished condition. She was very austere, as was he. She wasn't bothered by that other than just her affection for her husband. But those of you that marry, you know wives sometimes repeat something again and again, and there's a signal that they hold that to be very important and you got to do something about it. So he did something about it. He went to see Krishna. That was her words of encouragement. We'll discuss this some more. We'll discuss this some more tomorrow in detail. Her words are brilliant. She's really a good chess player. Good wife, too. So Krishna was visited by Sudama. And Sudama, Krishna, two things. We'll discuss more tomorrow. But Krishna, as soon as he saw, he's the personality of Godhead, and Sudama is his devotee. Second, they have a relationship of friendship, sakya. Third thing, Krishna is playing the role of an ordinary person, a worldly person. He's a kshatriya, Sudama is a brahmana. So Krishna gets off of his seating place, places Sudama on the seating place, was the bedstead of Rukmini, and there are others around. He got off, placed him there, and worshipped him as Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Krishna loves cows and he loves and respects Brahmanas. He worships, so he worships Sudama. Poor Sudama, he's seeing Krishna as the personality of Godhead. He's seeing Krishna as his friend, and Krishna wants to worship him. It's conflicting emotionally. Think about it. But he was so captivated by his love for Krishna. Tears were just gliding down his eyes, his eyes feasting upon Krishna, his dear friend and his master, worshipping his feet. And then Krishna starts to speak. He speaks from the voice of Paramatma. Very interesting. From a rasa point of view, it's very interesting. I, the soul of all souls, do not derive as much pleasure from austerities and sacrifices and rituals and worship and so many, Prabhupada calls them high-grade activities, as much as one who gives themselves completely to the instructions of the spiritual master and makes their life simply dedicated to pleasing him. There's nothing that pleases me more than that. He's speaking as the Supreme Lord to Sudama, saying, I am not as pleased as much by anything as that. And then he goes into this other mode of friendship. That they, when we were friends, remember the good old days when we were in school together and we went out to gather firewood, Summit Pani. And there was a big storm. Terrible storm. So we took shelter under a tree and it rained all night long. But we were very happy just being together in each other's company. We didn't even sleep. We were just happy being together, discussing. And Sandipani Muni was in big anxieties. Two young boys, they've gone out to gather firewood and they caught in a storm and it didn't come out and it's all night long. And he was very naturally like a loving parent, is concerned, where are these two boys? Like his own children. So he went with the whole school. They went into the forest looking and they found them. And when Sandipani Muni spoke, he expressed his deep gratitude to the hardship they had undergone to serve him. And then he said the same thing that Krishna said. This is the qualification of a good student. It's the duty of a good student. It's the duty of a disciple. Duty of one who has that position of taking shelter of someone as a teacher or master. That they're prepared to undergo any kind of inconvenience of their very selves. In the case of acharyas explained, that means those in the bodily conception think of the body as the self. So inconvenience of the body means nothing for someone who's in the mood of a servant of the master, and their wealth. Of course, these are little boys. But whatever is in the category of I and mine, from the Sanskrit, aham mameti, whoever I think I am, or whatever I think mine is, it's meant for the service of the spiritual master. Sandipani Muni is speaking to the two boys. I know you've undergone hardship, but that hardship means nothing for someone who's in the mood of surrender. It's the greatest happiness, in fact. Not the hardship per se, but the mood of being in that relationship. So hardship, you know, good times, bad times, it's insignificant. Because of something that's so significant. The mood of service and submission. And therefore, both of you are very dear to me, Sandipani Muni said to Sudama and Krishna. Now that's in his role as the teacher. But of course, he had another realization that Krishna is not just an ordinary living entity that learns everything the teacher has to teach you in 64 days. So here we have a situation where it's like, it's a family affair. Last year, around this time, one set of the parents received initiation. Now it's second initiation and their daughter, the grandchild. This is fantastic. This is Krishna consciousness. Now, my encouragement is, make this your last lifetime, please. And there's quite a distance to go, because one can only imagine, through the teachings of Rupa Goswami, that the attraction for the principles of bhakti and the practice of bhakti is due to a previous lifetime's activities and devotion. And here we are, three generations, in the same practice and discipline. But that means previous lifetime you didn't finish. So you had to take birth again. I think we'll all agree, we don't want to go through this again. And for me, especially teenage life is like so difficult. I don't want to do that again. Birth in the womb, I don't remember it, but, you know, teenage life, it was too much. I don't want to do it again. So make this your final departing act of achieving purity and devotion to Krishna. And that's not easy. But so we've been hearing over the weekend the process of Sharanagati is to come to that state without coming to the position of full surrender, not partial, but full surrender, fully conscious of Krishna as you're doing your everything. Your worship, your chanting, your reading, your family activities, your commercial career activities, interacting within the community of devotees, interacting with the world of around us, other people. It takes a lot of transformation to come to that stage, and that's required in order to not come back again. So please make this your best effort to develop the qualities that are pleasing to Krishna. He identifies those qualities very clearly, and he'll decorate those qualities on the strength of this one main quality, this full Krishna Eka Sharana, full submission unto Krishna, just as we were speaking this whole weekend. Then Punar Janma Na. No more. No more birth and death. So I'm going to take some time. Last is I'm going to invite Devaki Nandan Prabhu to speak something about these nice devotee initiates. And then he's going to ask two other people and then we'll carry on.
Hare Krishna. So Maharaj requested me that if I would like to say something. This is a very special family in our community. Our Veerbhadra Prabhu, Srimati Mataji, Rishika Devi. I was thinking, Vaishnava is one, our Acharyas mentions, explains, who has three qualities. Naam Ruchi, Jiva Daya and Vaishnav Seva. Now with Naam Ruchi, the faith and taste in the holy names, we're all neophyte, we're trying to develop some taste. Maharaj very kindly actually gave us this japa retreat. Last year he's gave us this wonderful japa retreat to develop this Naam Ruchi. We're extremely grateful. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all the Vaishnavas who visit from different places. Maharaj mentioned from New York to Boston, in between Seattle, Chicago. We are extremely grateful to all of them to put some faith in our system. We have some weaknesses and slowly, slowly we are improving. But these other two qualities, Jiva Daya, our family of Veerbhadra Prabhu and Srimati Mataji, from day one actually, since they joined us, they have this amazing intense longing to share this Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's divine messages with the world through books distribution, through Harinam Sankirtan, through talking to new guests who walk into a temple, going to different offices who they know from their past business ventures, talking to them, giving them books, giving them prasad, giving them tulsi plants, not only giving them tulsi plants, but going back and then serving those tulsi plants and teaching them how to serve tulsi plants so they can survive nicely. And then third quality of Vaishnav Seva, we've been noticing, but now in the last 2-3 months, we had our Adarsham Mataji left her body, our Premanava Prabhu going through some health issues. And we're all busy running around with our jobs and so many things. But especially this wonderful family of Veerbhadra Prabhu and Srimati Mataji, they actually extended themselves far beyond the expectations of any of our congregation members. They visited the hospitals, they visited their homes, giving shelter to their children, providing prasadam. So that's, to me, on a personal level, this Krishna consciousness is this loving compassion for other fellow devotees. That's true Vaishnava Seva. So we're extremely fortunate. We have no doubt they qualified themselves to be a Brahmana. Yes, this will allow them to do deity worship on an official level. But it also gives them, empowers them more to share their purity that they have developed through Nam Ruchi, through Jivadaya, to share with many, many other families and devotees. So we are extremely fortunate that they are taking this second step. When this proposal came last night that they would like to go ahead with Brahman initiation, and it came upon me to give that reference, give that okay. I was extremely, I felt extremely fortunate that I've been put in this position to actually think about their good qualities that I've been seeing, but now I have to think about and highlight and share with all of you. So it's my fortunate. It's my fortune. And our dear Rishika, what can be, how I need millions of mouths, actually. I'm sure everyone in this community would like to talk about her. But because of her time limits, I'm going to request two devotees to say something. But I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada used the word that his followers are gentlemen and gentle ladies. What we're supposed to be. So I was thinking about Rishika that she's actually a gentle girl. Devotee who has, usually when you see when devotees go up in their learnings, in their sadhana, in their presentations, they find some envy around them. Somebody become envious about them, that why he or she is going so up. But then there are very rare souls, very rare devotees, who actually can go high and high and high, but develop no enemy around them. And I feel those are the gentle devotees. And I put Rishika in that category of gentle devotee. She has no enemy. She'll never have any enemy. She's so gentle, wonderful hearted Vaishnavi. So we're extremely fortunate that she's taking this, she's the junior most in our congregation who's taking this step, 12-year-old, having the courage, and courage is backed up by purity. I know that her parents also want that she gets situated nicely, but it's more than that. Sometimes parents push you, you know, find guru, take initiation, chant so many shlokas, but it's much beyond that, and we all understand that. And that's very, very inspiring. And I want, Anuj and our Surbhi Sundarachal, both of them to speak about Rishika a little more to justify. She needs so many devotees to speak about her actually, and I'm sure everybody will. but because of time shortage. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. So I'm really happy to be here today, and it's a very special ceremony. Thank you so much for everyone for having me. On my way here, or before I came, I was speaking with able to be here, but we were speaking about this upcoming initiation ceremony, and you know, I was remembering when I first met and first came to know about this family and Rishika especially, and that was a few years ago that you had joined the congregation. But then I remember one point particularly when I met and got to know Rishika more. I think Gaur Purnima, some program, and we had a stage set up, and somehow or another I was emceeing the program. You know, somehow or another I end up in that responsibility, and there was a gap in the programming. And so we were thinking, and we were all scratching our head, like, how do we fill this gap? You know, I think someone was late, the dancing team was late, or there's this, 20-minute gap. And we already done, and I think then Srimati Mataji had come to me, and then you had mentioned that, you know, actually, if you'd like, it's up to you, but Rishika, she's learning the Gita, and she's learning shloka, so she can recite shlokas for the purification of this event and for everyone to hear. And she did that. So we went with that. And I remember she recited an entire chapter of the Gita at that point. And I was just standing there on the side, like, amazed out of my mind. Because, you know, like, I've been born in the movement, but I know maybe like 24 verses, maybe a little bit more than that. And here was this maybe 9-year-old girl, you know, reciting a whole chapter of the Gita, actually. So that really impressed me. Really, really impressed me. But more than that, actually, in these last about year and a half to 2 years, I can really say that I've gotten to know Rishika so much more, and I really feel like an older brother to her. Really feel like you're a younger sister to me. And you've captivated our hearts, especially by joining the Kirtan team, especially in the last year and a half or so. And, you know, one of the things that I really, really like and really, really admire about Rishika, and I learn so much from you, actually, really. One of the things that I really, really admire is that, and Devakinandan Prabhu mentioned this, and I'd like to elaborate on it, that people who... you know, we're all a kind of learning in life. We're all learning. Every day we maybe learn some shastra, we may learn a skill, may learn some a music skill that we can use in kirtan, or we may learn something on the job. And what tends to happen is that when we start gaining knowledge, it naturally brings some pride, some ego, because we relate to the world through ourselves. So we kind of, the mind looks at the world and we see how do we fit into the world. And so when we gain skill, we begin to become more confident with ourselves in the world. But also sometimes it develops an arrogance, a pride. And that pride, it develops an inflexibility, a narrow-mindedness sometimes in us. And the way that kind of I've seen plays out is that when we see other people who are not as good, or we see other people who are doing something differently, we begin to criticize, or we begin to become even more narrow-minded against them. You know, we'll say, okay, they're doing that, but we want to feel superior, so I'm doing this, you know, and I know this much, and I know these things, and I can do this, and what they're doing is not really right. So that can develop that pride, and that develops into like this insensitivity. And as Maharaj said, this bhakti lata beach that kills that seed of bhakti, actually. That seed of bhakti gets killed. And so, I really admire that actually she knows so much shastra, she's chanting, she's 12 years old. I mean, Hari Bol. And that's, it's amazing. You know, seriously. know, she's 12 years old and she's chanting 16 rounds. She knows so much shastra, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. She sings beautifully. She sings with us in the kirtan team. But even then, if you notice, she genuinely has a very soft heart, a very gentle heart. And she's not looking. When she comes, I notice this in the kirtan. And it's so important. This is the mood that Lord Chaitanya had, that in the kirtan, everyone is important. And everyone is a participant, and no one's superior, whether you're playing mridanga, or you're playing kirtals, or you're clapping in the back of the room. And I feel like she actually really embodies that. When she comes and chants, she doesn't care if she gets the mic. She doesn't care if she's playing harmonium, or if she's singing, or who's singing next, and all those considerations that run through the head. She actually just wants to be there. You know, so thank you so much. I'm really honored to know your family. Really, thank you so much for the love. I pray for you all, and please pray for me, actually, really. I'm so, so grateful to actually be an older brother to Rishika, to you. And I'm just so, so, so happy for you. Thank you so much for who you are. Riva.
Hare Krishna. I've known Rishika for, I don't know how many years, 7 years. And I remember when I was small, I used to dream that one day all my friends, me, Vrinda, Lakshmi, Sonam, Vrinda, Panagha, and Rishika, we would all sit in one row. And our one Guru Maharaj would give Diksha to us. I had that really, really big dream, and that stayed with me for a really long time. It didn't work out so well, as you can see, but I'm still so happy that this is happening today. And one of the things that brought her here is, actually the one thing that brought her here is something that I still struggle with today. It's her conviction in Krishna consciousness. She's been chanting 16 rounds for about four years now, and something that I struggle with today is that I go to New Vrindavan, I go to Puri, I go somewhere nice, and I come empowered with, I'm going to chant nicely now, I'm going to chant really well, I'm going to do all my 16 rounds, but that willpower, it dies off quickly. And the quicker it dies off, the less stamina, it shows how less stamina you have. But for six entire years, Rishika has shown how much courage and conviction she has in Krishna consciousness. And that comes from her free will. Her choice and free will to come to Krishna consciousness, to turn to Krishna instead of becoming a Bahirmukha, instead of showing her face away from Krishna. She turns her face to Krishna. And that shows how much mercy she has from Krishna, and how much she's able to take that mercy from Krishna as well. I've been with Rishika from learning how to play kirtals from her, from getting scolded from Madhupati Prabhuji to not talk in Mangala Arati while we're chanting, to eating in prasadam, to dancing in kirtan. I've been with her for so long, and it feels so nice today that she's finally getting to link with the Evam Parapara Pratam. And the third generation of ISKCON is still coming alive, and there's so much question mark in the future about ISKCON, so much question mark as to if we will succeed in the future. And Rishika's initiation, and just a step into taking Krishna consciousness more seriously, just shows how much more confidence we can have in the third generation. Uh, the third generation of ISKCON, we really don't know what's going to happen in the future. And make it happen. Yeah.
Just a little piece of information. Devaki Nandan only found out yesterday, but I found out a month ago when I was here for the seminar on Tattvasandarbha. Madhupati approached me and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think." "Okay. And what about Rishika?" "Yeah, for sure, Rishika." Now, I just assumed that he spoke to somebody besides me about it, but apparently he didn't. And then a little light went on because my life is a blur with all the things that I have to do, that I have to receive in writing from the head of the temple who's off in India right now. So it wasn't just, it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. It was in his mind for some time. Observing, on his behalf, he's very happy. It was his recommendation. So you're making people, the right people happy. Keep going. Rishika, pay your obeisances before Prabhupada, and then come here and we'll give you your beads. It's embarrassing hearing all these words of praise, isn't it? Yes. But it's how Vaishnavas are. They like to share their feelings of appreciation and love, and just take it that way. You can say nice things to them later. Because that's how relationships are. Okay. So, how many rounds you'll chant for the rest of your life? Minimum 16. No hesitation. And the four rules that you'll follow. And you'll very carefully make best effort to follow Prabhupada's teachings for the rest of your life. Pause? That's a yes. Yes, okay. It's nice to have a name, Rishika. It's nice you can say Rishika Dasi, but give a different name. Rishta Devi Dasi.
Arima!
Here's the stone. That's the name of Radharani. Rishta means happy. Radharani is Rishta, and you're Rishta Dasi.
Thank you, Pavita, to Brahma.